We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Thiemann, Dorn, and Byers. Welcome to all the public here. Got a full house and hallway, it looks like. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held August 26, 2020. Approve all claims through September 9th, 2020 in the amount of $560,753.53. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register deeds fee report for the month of August 2020. Approve specifications and call for bids on 2020-2021. Snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff's office, jail, veterans office, former bus stop locations, and parking lots. Bid to be opened October 7th, 2019 at 9:15 a.m.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor, and motion carries.
You might need that snow bid earlier.
Geez, the way it feels. Up next, regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anyone may comment on any matter that is not on the agenda, but no board action can be taken until the following board meeting unless the board declares it an emergency. So this would be for anyone that wants to speak on anything not on the agenda later. All right. We have public, but no public comment. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution on amendment changes to the Gage County wind regulations as proposed by Larry Alder. This consists of a one-mile setback, complaints coming to the board as well as the P&Z and zoning director, and independent testing on decibel levels post and I think pre and post construction, but at least independent testing.
And this is the one-mile setback.
This would be the one-mile setback. And
resolution number 20-22.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Mr. Bauman. Yes, moved by Byers, second by Dorn. I'd open this for discussion.
20-22.
Thank you. I guess I will start at it, and I had a conversation with the project manager yesterday. I mean, they sent the letter around the county that a vocal minority was opposed to this, and I guess I'd just like to say I don't think it's a minority at all that's opposed to this. I mean, it's the calls I've been getting and the emails are basically for the text amendment and very few for it. NextEra has had this project for 6+ years. They've had 3 project managers, 2 of which didn't have to deal with COVID. Our public hearing, there was not one career farmer there that wanted us to leave it at 3/8 of a mile. So where's the support against it, you know, from the local?
And when you say the calls and emails you're getting are not for it, that's for wind energy in this area?
Well, it's you know, the basically all the calls I've been getting are for the text amendment. And the emails that I get that are to leave it at 3/8 of a mile are a standard email for the most part that have, you know, been sent out electronic spam, and some of them have forwarded on to us.
This is a stack of letters that I have received in favor of the setback. All but one call that I've received have been for the setback. I have received one person who has called me told me they didn't want the setback, and that's somebody who lived in the city of Beatrice. But every comment I've had have been in favor of the setback.
I want to thank the P&Z for the work that they did and the group of people from the northern part of the county that the work, the material that they exposed to everybody. And I can say that probably 99.5 of the people that talked to me is for the amendment. And that's farmers and whoever that's in the northern part of the county. So I feel there's no way I can go anyway but vote for the amendment.
And one thing I would say, you know, and I saw the signatures on the petition for the group that went around collecting signatures on the other side that, and their petition said, should Gage County ban wind farms? Banned wind. It didn't say anything about the text amendment, and our intent is not to try and ban wind. I mean, with this text amendment, there can still be wind farms developed in the right location. There will need to work with some adjoining neighbors and not skip neighbors, and there's wind farms developed, and landowners don't get contacted about them, and then they got turbines all around them, and that needs to change. I mean, they need to work, and they'd be better off encouraging a wind association to form before they started the project and have the local landowners involved.
We've really looked at this a lot. Biggest upside to new energy, new investment is additional tax revenue for a county. When we look at that, we have to look at what the real dollars are versus what the real dollars aren't to each of these towers, looking at what we have for current experience in the steel flats, brings in, relatively speaking, $10,000 to $12,000 per tower, closer to the 10 mark for the county and schools and everyone. If we look at how that will affect us in other areas, you need to look at an area and say, will you be able to offset that with, I guess in my estimation, it was 1 to 2 houses per tower. Now, that's your property tax. Along with that, if those are houses instead of wind towers, you have cars being bought, kids buying clothes, people coming in to eat. We're short of labor in Gage County. That gives you additional people living here. We start pulling some of the people that are running up and down the highway to Lincoln and Omaha back towards our area, or maybe pulling some of the people from southern Lancaster, where land prices are higher, down to Gage, which will make land prices higher here as well. But I guess if prices are high, I'd rather them be here than in Lancaster. We need to look at this as a total package. Do we spread this out and look at a more residential approach for growth, or do we look at a more industrial look? Sunday, I went out and I stopped in a few spots around the steel flats project. I kind of bypassed our side and went over to Jefferson. It wasn't terribly loud. I mean, I could hear the turbines, but I'm not going to pretend I could hear a lot of noise. But what I did was I looked around the footprint of that project. I mean, that's a big footprint, too. I started cruising through the towers. I went up on 103, looked around. They're not terribly offensive to me, but looking at that area, I can't see a subdevelopment fitting in there. And with the way Lincoln is growing, is this going to affect us negatively in the first 5 years? Maybe a little bit, but not a lot. But I mean, if we start looking out 10, 15, 20 years, I think that's where what we do today can make a big difference. So I guess I'd ask you just to keep that
in mind. And you look at the big difference could be an annual loss of $4 million for this county. And you start looking at what it will do for the agricultural losses, the residential property devaluation, tourism reduction. There's so many negatives on this. Let's not get ourselves confused and think about a little bit of property tax that's going to come in is going to be the best thing for the people of this county, because if you look at the details and study them, it's going to be a loss for our county.
And here's another number, and the extension office gave it to me, well, a guy from Omaha did, but 240,000 acres in Gage County are rented land. out of 540,000, so that's over 44%. So 44% of land is rented by a farmer. And there's no doubt that wind towers have a negative impact on the person underneath them, farming underneath them. You got roads, you know, you got one field that used to be one field, and now you got two or three fields. You know, you got issues with aerial application under them. Those issues need to be looked at, and to assume that it's always good for the farmer is not necessarily true. And like I said, there was not a career farmer at that meeting that spoke to leave it at 3/8 of a mile.
Mr. Lytle?
Well, several years back when we settled on the 3/8 mile, several of us were on the board at that time, and I think at that time it was an educated decision that we thought felt pretty good about. I guess at this point, for me anyway, what I struggle with, yeah, the tax dollars is important and everything else, but I guess what I struggle with is the infrasound, and you know, I've heard different things from obviously people in the crowd and whatever else, and looked into it a little bit, and I guess it's partly what we don't know at this point. And you know, if we don't understand the infrasound completely, and what if it is negatively impacting people, animals, whatever else, and we continue to allow 3/8 of a mile or half a mile or whatever it is, I guess my concern is that we err on the safety, on caution for safety. I think at this point the mile setback probably is justified just in that. I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I'm sitting. And like I said, I don't disagree with the tax, not the dollars and all that part of it, but I guess I'm just concerned about, because you're looking at a lot of people that live in that area where you're going to have possibly a lot of wind turbines go in, and I guess I'm concerned on the health side of it.
And certainly the more I learn about ultrasound, the more you're concerned about it. And, you know, it's one of those issues that's probably a long-term thing developing, but you're not old enough to remember when smoking was controversial as to whether it was harmful.
Yeah, I am, John.
No, but the 20 years ahead of that, there was a lot of debate, and most people were on the other side, you know. And you could say the same thing for e-cigs, and Roundup was totally safe, and applicators would wash their hands in it because it had a lot of surfactant in it, and, you know, they promoted it as totally safe. You know, you can't dismiss the ultrasound, and most of that should stay on the participating property.
Any further discussion on this resolution 2022? Mr. Juergens.
If I were representing the people in Northern Gage County, it'd be a no-brainer for me. I represent people in the southwest corner of Gage County. Normally, I don't look at Gage County as an individual who you represent, but in this case, I've had many phone calls just the opposite. I've had many, just like everybody else said, the same amount, but I've had many phone calls and people come in and talk to me about the steel flats down there, possible expansion. Highway 36 project is still on the books, possible. Could be built down the road, I don't know. At the time, when we did set on that 3/8 of a mile one, at the time I wanted a half mile, but it settled on a 3/8 of a mile because I felt 3/8 was even a little too close, because I was familiar with them down there, what happens. So this is a tough one for me. But just so everybody knows, I wish there was a compromise someplace in here, but we're not voting on a compromise. So in this area, voting just on my district, I'm not saying a majority, but the people that have spoke to me think the mile setback is too far, think if there was future expansion with steel flats, it would kill that expansion. With that being said, I will probably vote against the amendment.
And that's a good point to make, is as we're looking at regulations, we are not looking to ban wind. I don't think anyone is 100% anti-wind. It's just with a potential project on the horizon in a certain area, how does that affect that area in the portion of the county you're talking about? We're not looking at accelerated growth of residential housing where in the northern part of the county, I spoke with, I believe it was a former school board member up north, and although our ag land is dropping in value, $104 million in the last couple of years, their revenues are up still because of increased residential value. That is an economic driver too. Houses, they may not be the job producers like a factory, but if you look at what keeps the world turning, construction is a big part of that, and there's a lot of people in home construction, even in our area, and they're spending money in our area and putting up homes. So that is a good point. Go ahead, Mr. Juergens.
One other thing. These are some notes that were given to the whole board, I think, by former Supervisor Dave Anderson. I'll just read a few things he had wrote down. Do not penalize countywide residents on the wishes of a select few. Wind towers have contributed greatly to the Odell-Diller area. If the sight of vision of towers offensive to some, increasing that setback to 1 mile does not help, can be seen for 20 miles. If all else fails, please consider grandfathering existing projects so if Steel Flats wants to expand, it can under current rules.
And I would point out the next agenda item after this vote, regardless of which way this vote goes, the next agenda item does allow for us to send recommendations, anything out of this discussion or anything else you have, because we've all talked about this for months now. Years in some cases, we can send whatever you guys would like to the P&Z again for review, whether that's a grandfather issue, splitting the county north and south. I mean, any ideas that you have, we can send those back to the P&Z for review as well. Mr. Bowman?
Through this process the second time, I think we got it wrong the first time. I really feel that. I'm not anti-wind. I'm not anti-alternative energy. I just think we got it wrong the first time. I think trying to paint the entire county with one zoning brush was wrong. I think that there are neighborhoods, and if you live in the rural areas, you refer to neighbors who might live a mile or two away, where in town they might be 30 feet away. So I think the perception is that rural areas are ripe for this type of development of alternative energy. I think we got it wrong because I think that we should have looked at zoning regionally within the county, where it might be more palatable to take place. I absolutely agree with former Supervisor Anderson and Supervisor Juergens' comments that there needs to be compromise in areas of the county where residents want that, where the population density is different. And just like any good politician, and I'm on my way out, I almost think we should have a subcommittee as part of planning and zoning that deals specifically with alternative energy, so it can be more expeditious for folks like Mr. Alder when they submit text amendments and it takes this enormous amount of time to go through and do that. They can delve into these projects separate than the day-to-day P&Z stuff that the board is dealing with. It's important. It's needed to deal with these things, but sometimes these things have such great magnitude and have the ability to affect so many people don't necessarily get the attention that closing a road does. You know, we have a similar process of having hearings and getting recommendations. But I think we got it wrong the first time, and I won't be here to be part of what I'm encouraging you all to do. But I think that there needs to be a separate committee that looks at that so that we're not excluding. You know, we've got solar that's coming down the pike. There's who knows what other technology is out there. So folks in my district have been very clear. You know, we're not a democracy. We're a republic, and you represent the people that put you in office. And I've had maybe a handful of people who have said that the setback is too far in that district. And if you had a drone or a flyover and you can see all the density of the homes and the people that live there, I just think it's the wrong place for it. And I don't say that lightly, because I've always voted for self-determination of personal property, specifically land, since I've been on the board. So I think it's a bigger issue than just this text amendment. It's a bigger issue than just Northern Gage County. Alternative energy is coming. It's here. We probably are a little bit behind where we need to be. I think this, for that area of the county, I think the text amendment works. For other areas of the county, it doesn't. So, again, we might be getting it wrong by, again, painting the county with one broad brush. So there has to be compromise somewhere down the road. And I would encourage this board to work on that in my absence.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would agree with Matt. I think we got it wrong the first time around. And certainly everybody has learned a whole lot more about wind and the effects of turbines. There's no doubt about that. There's certainly a difference between the northern part of the county and the southern part of the county. There's no doubt about it. I'm not convinced that a one-mile setback would stop a project like Steel Flats from expanding. I mean, they would have to work better with their neighbors and be more open about it and not say, you need to sign this because your neighbors are already signed up when they haven't signed up, and that type of thing. They really need to encourage some local people to take initiative to form the Wind Association and get the area that they need to develop it. And there's just a total different density of housing in
areas like Steel Flats. As far as the one-mile setback stopping Steel Flats, I mean, we don't know whether something like that would stop a project there or up north. I mean, we don't have that information.
And that's the other thing. Steel Flats has been there for 7 years, and they've been working up here for 6 years. If they'd have worked down there, they'd have probably had more turbines spinning.
I'd also point out, too, as a resident of rural Pickerel, Matt could be on a subcommittee like that, potentially even chair it as an appointed chair.
He was part of the discussion before where we couldn't decide how we were going to piece it up, and because we did have some of that conversation. It's hard to decide how do you piece it out, and we discussed it at length. So I don't know that we want to have him as a part of it, because he'll just bog it down because he can't make a decision.
But I mean,
I agree with you, Supervisor.
There's a bunch of different zoning issues that we've talked about breaking the county into different parts. It's a big county. I mean, it's a big county, a lot of different demographics. Any additional discussion on this item? If not, we have a motion by Byers, second by Dorn, to approve Resolution 2022, which are the amended changes as presented by Larry Alder to the wind regulations. This would be approved with no conditions, approved as submitted, which would be specifically, Roger, should I read the specific changes?
You've referred to it all the time as the Alder Amendment, and you've got a copy of that on file.
Do we need to do anything as far as specific typographical changes? Or
they're not typographical, but I would suggest you vote on Mr. Alder's amendment, and then if we need to clean up the supervisor's commissioner's language, we'll do so.
Okay.
Don't make presumptions here. They refer to commissioners in his amendment, and we have a commissioner form of county government, ours are supervisors, but that's just a technical thing. But get your amendment dealt with first.
All right. Resolution 2022, motion by Byers, second by Dorn. No further discussion. I would ask you to please vote. 6 in favor, with Juergens voting no. Motion carries.
Now it would be appropriate to just, it's a cleanup deal. It refers to commissioners in the Alder Amendment. We talked about that at the public hearing and said we see what happens with the amendment and then clean it up here so we don't have to. Basically, we could send it down to P&Z and ask them to change said, why have a meeting for that? So I would suggest you go ahead and approve that change in the language.
Okay.
That's all it is.
I'd ask for a motion to change the language to just make things correct in that amendment, changing things like commissioners to supervisors.
I think that's the only thing.
Anything else? Wording like commission, things like that, just basically.
Well, they're just one. You got to be specific. Which,
yeah. The technical term changing from commissioners to
any place where it references commissioners in the Alder amendment, it should be changed to supervisors. Okay, I don't think there's any other changes. If there are, they'll have to look at those and bring them up. Any technical ones?
Different time.
I'd ask for a motion. Hope they weren't cheering for him.
Yes. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Bauman to make the change from the wording from commissioner to supervisors. Moved by Dorn. Second by who's the second by?
Bauman.
That's right. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove referring any recommendations for review from the county board to planning and zoning commission. This could be on anything at this time. There's a lot of discussion between supervisors about potential things to look at in wind and solar, primarily wind, but are there any issues you guys would like to send to the P&Z for review? And be specific, please.
I think the bigger issue is trying to be more surgical in what we're doing, and I don't, outside of coming up with extemporaneous ideas, I think it's got to be looked at. And I'm not proposing that anybody hustled through anything in the past. I mean, we all know it takes a lot of work, planning and zoning. It's a lot of work. And I don't know with the way that things change that we ever get it right. I know that there's references to 3/8 of a mile throughout the zoning that needs to be cleaned up to be consistent with what we have here. I know there's just in this process, in the public hearing, there's been folks who have brought forward additional items that they would like to see. I think there's merit in getting more feedback from the public. Folks from down in your area, what would you like to see? And get that feedback of, well, from this road to this road, can we create, you know, we zone commercial, we zone ag, we zone all that. Well, I think we're going to have to zone wind. And I don't think that one size will fit all. And it's a big project, and it's a lot to ask from planning and zoning. And with respect to the folks who are on planning and zoning, we're a frog's hair away from starting harvest. And so we all know it's going to get busy. So I think there's merit in somehow, you know, there's been surveys thrown around from both sides. I think there's still an opportunity for next era, if they so choose, to get throw another survey out. The group, Wind Watchers, throw a survey out. Again, this board votes on things that affect the public. We are a reflection of the people that live here. We need that feedback. And I think that there's folks down in your area that have some great ideas that can create an area where wind and solar can fit. But I would hesitate to do too much at this meeting without getting feedback, because then we're going to end up with another text amendment in another 2 years.
Mr. Jurgens?
And that was kind of my comment, too, or thinking, too. You know, I think we ought to let the dust settle now and hold off on, you know, making any abrupt changes immediately other than the amendment changes, you know.
Mr. Hill?
You know, I think there is one thing that needs to get done now, and that's the text amendment referred to a residence for a mile. And our zoning has a number of other setbacks to churches and hospitals and schools and villages and that type of thing, and those were not addressed in the text amendment. That needs to get sent back to P&Z to extend those. The other thing is that we need to, my opinion is we need to adopt Lancaster County's recommendations for decibel limits and go to 40 in daytime, 37 at night. and that's what their science said at the time, and they were far better able to do that than we were able to do it, and we should adopt that at the same time.
I think we need to study it. I think one of the things that affected me on this is I looked at where those wind turbines could be placed, close to schools, close to homes, close to so many things that affect people that we represent in every way and that can be very scary health-wise. And so I think that affected me, and I think we need to study it.
Well, that's what this would be at this time. It'd be sending stuff for review by P&Z. And, I mean, if someone wants to make a motion, I heard the one thing would be change the language throughout zoning for consistency with the amendment we just voted on. Potentially change wording to make it, I'm assuming, just consistent with schools, churches.
Well, you know, some of those exceeded the 3/8 of a mile, so, you know, they may want them to exceed now the mile.
Okay, so review the schools, churches, et cetera. In the
everything that's in our planning and zoning.
Okay.
And any places that have public gatherings, like campgrounds, so public campgrounds, state NRDs type things. And then to adjust the decibel limits to 40 and 37, 40 day, 37 night.
Decibels, 40 day, 37 night. And this will be whatever ends up in a motion, but there has been talk for potential different zoning areas, north and south quadrants. I mean, if that's something you want the P&Z to start tackling, or as Mr. Bauman said, form a subcommittee. There's even talk of making measurements from property line instead of basement edge. We can send whatever we'd like down to the P&Z for review. We may get nothing back. We may get something back. It just depends on what the board wants to send down there and what the P&Z has patience for. Just a real quick point, and I didn't mention it on the last agenda item on Resolution 2022, and I meant to. This amendment did come from the P&Z, and you guys know it, but just for the public, it did come from the P&Z with a 6-1 vote in favor of the amendment. I just want to point out that was the direction that the P&Z went as well. But anything's on the table here.
And I guess now that you mentioned it, if that probably should be added to the minimum that they could consider making the setback to the property line.
That could be added to the motion for review.
Yeah, I would like to add it to the motion to consider the property line instead of a residence.
Counselor?
I was just going to suggest you're now taking a shot at the entire planning and zoning regulations. And there's a lot of different things out there. Let's start talking about livestock. We've got setbacks on livestock stuff. And we got a P&Z that, quite frankly, I've talked to several of those folks, and God bless them for what they've done. But they're a little wore out right now. I'm just going to, you know, I know Jeff's back there, and he's too nice to say something, but I'm not. These guys are wore out from meetings and stuff. You guys got a taste of the last one with six-hour meeting. It's tough. It's great to have the public take an interest there. And I think that's something. And having gone through P&Z with the city and then with the county and seeing the process, it's tough to get the public motivated to come in. And I'm not criticizing you when it doesn't directly impact you. When it does, that's when you come, and that's what government works best, is when people are here because they're impacted and you got good ideas. The seven guys up here and the lady, they don't have all the good ideas. They rely on you. But now you're taking, like, okay, what do we want P&Z to look at again? And I'm just telling you, we could spend the next 2 hours in a study session and not hit all the stuff we probably need to look at. But I would just suggest maybe the best way to do this is, like Gary or Terry said, let's let the dust settle a little bit. Everybody take a breath, go back to living. Maybe we'll get some football in this state again. you know, and get back to some normalcy where we can study this thing and take pieces of it. I think, like Matt's talking about, maybe we need to take a look at, you know, we looked at that what constitutional issues come up when we say the Ag 1 down in southwestern Gage County is treated differently than the Ag 1 in the northeast part of the county. Is everything okay with that? Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But I think we need to look at that. And I think it's a good idea. But encourage people to keep calling in with their ideas. I mean, that's where ideas are generated with the public.
And certainly I agree, Roger, that people are worn out with the wind talk. I view this part of it as kind of cleanup issues, and I'll leave my motion stand, and hopefully somebody seconds it.
Would you shoot me your motion?
Yes. Review all existing setbacks and any others with public use, especially campgrounds, and adjust the setback to 1 mile or greater, and adjust the decibel levels to the recommended 40-day and 37-night that was originally recommended, and consider using the property line as the setback limit.
So any public places, yeah. Gathering spots, schools, campgrounds, churches, etc., consistency with language through zoning docs, yep. Decimal levels at 40 and 37,
right.
And look at property lines versus residents. Is that everything?
Yes.
And that is your motion is to send that to P&Z for review.
Yes.
You have all that done?
I got recorded. Parts of it. I hope yeah. I got it all.
Hopefully it's recorded and we'll go back.
Yeah.
I have a motion by Hill. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm going to second that, but I'm not in favor of delving in this quick, but I think that the iron is hot, so we have to continue to keep it there. I think that's a laundry list of stuff that is it's a big list. And I think it's too much for P&Z. It'll be, we almost need a alternative energy wind zoning committee itself. I think it's a big list. I'm not in agreement necessarily with everything that's there, because what if somebody has a campground and they want that thing within a quarter mile of a campground? Does anybody here own a campground? We have no representation from any campground owners. I think that we're a little bit presumptuous by jumping in, but I agree in theory that we've got to keep it out there, but it's a big project.
Matt, I'll guarantee you one thing on this, it won't happen quick.
Yeah.
After January?
It'll be after January.
Matt, how about if I amend this to P&Z has the option to review any or all of these items?
I'm not saying that there's not merit. I'm just saying it's a big project, and I think we probably need to look at the structure of planning and zoning first. Put that so that's an expeditious structure. If we just send this down there, it's not going to be dealt with.
This would be something that Lisa's here. Lisa, do you want to come up for a second?
I seconded it, so I'm in favor of it going, but I'm saying that here's the kind of the footnote is that it's a big project.
Oh, shoot. Hey, Lisa, can you hold off for just a second? We have a public hearing at 9:15. I'm sorry. We went back. We will we'll recess discussion on this motion for a few minutes for a time to vent at 9:15. I would ask for a motion to go into public hearing to hear support or opposition possible minimum maintenance road classification of 4,685 feet of road running between sections 18 and 19, Township 4 North, range 6 East, and 220 feet of road curving south at the west end of Juniper Road into section 19, Township 4 North, range 6 East, stopping at the railroad tracks, Midland Township, and that public hearing would begin at 9:24 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. There's a sign-up sheet on the table there to my right. If anyone would like to speak at this, please vote. 7 in favor. We are in public hearing. Would you like to speak on this? Please give your name and address for the record.
Matt Langley, 1412 East Sargent Road. I'm chairman of the Midland Township.
Will you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. This stretch of Juniper Road for the legal, I don't recall what the legal representation is, what Eric said. It's a stretch of road between Southwest 45th heading west to the river, or the railroad tracks, I call it the river. We transfer land ownership and road maintenance from the railroad tracks back to a landlocked property. We got that taken care of. That's all complete, paid off for everybody involved. And so this stretch of road, it potentially puts two parcels of land that would be only access to this road. Currently, this is a kind of an on-demand road for snow clearance for livestock, if there's livestock in that field. Or during harvest, it would be maintained for, you know, suitable conditions for trucks and, you know, busy times of the year for that, because it's an ag source road. There's no residents that reside on this. The property at the very far end that was transferred ownership to that person, we had a contract in place that said they were responsible for their end. And at the same time, if they were to call and say, we'd like to get back, or we have a problem, we need something fixed, then it's nothing to get our operators out there and get that road into shape so they can get back there as need be. So that's all we're looking to do, is just get this to minimum maintenance and for all the legality purposes for us regarding that. So any questions?
Questions for Matt?
I just have a comment. It's not often I see you anymore, but I want to thank you, Chief. This is Beatrice Rural Fire Department's fire chief right here. And so this guy is a whiz-bang guy, and I miss serving with you. I'm off now, but I appreciate seeing you and the time and effort it takes to do township board, to do the family, and to do the fire stuff. So appreciate you. Sorry, sidebar, but I don't see him very much, but I just want to give you a thumbs up. Thank you for your time and your service.
Matt, could I have you sign this, too, sign in? And yeah. Galen?
To further on that, Jim Engel taught him well.
Galen, do you have anything on this?
No, I don't. I just recommend that be reclassified to minimum maintenance.
Any other questions from the board? I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:27 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. Come out at 9:20. Thank you. 9:27 on the clock. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We'll go ahead and continue on with the next item here, just while Matt's here, while it's hot off the press. Approve or disapprove resolution reclassifying the 4,685 feet of road running between sections 18 and 19, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, and 220 feet of road curving south at the west end of Juniper Road into sections 19, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, stopping at the railroad tracks in Midland Township from local to minimum maintenance.
Resolution 20-23.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve Resolution 20-23 by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Thank you, Matt. We've got a timed event at 9:30. We're getting close on this last one. I guess going back to Mr. Hill's motion and Mr. Bauman's second to approve sending those to P&Z, is there any additional discussion on that, Mr. Lytle?
Roger, I would assume that they'll have the ability to pick this out, and if they want to send one thing, one part of what John had, they can pull that out as P&Z. Yeah. Pull it out and send it back to us. It doesn't have to be the whole gamut of what John's sending at him.
Basically, your regulations allow the board to send suggestions. Well, it's a little more of a suggestion to P&Z to look at specific items. And that's, you know, again, if while they're doing this, and that's the only thing that your motion does somewhat limit it. But if they find something else that's connected, they can just, you know, contact Eric and suggest that that be included in the motion at a later date.
Okay.
And certainly I'm open to any or all of them being reviewed. Or anything else?
I'd like to thank the P&Z again. I mean,
yes.
Lisa, please tell the rest of the board. I see some of them out here. I know there were some holdups here. Government moves incredibly slow. But it also is a great chance for the public to get involved. We appreciate all the input from the public. Never feel like you shouldn't be getting a hold of people. We're on your dime. We work for you. So when there's anything going on, get a hold of us. Everyone's very cognizant that we work for you. We don't hear from the public a lot until it affects someone personally. And houses are a big sticking point because it's so personal. But thank you to all the public for getting involved and getting a hold of us and doing so in a very professional way, too. We didn't have the flamboyant shows that could have been made or rude behavior or anything. So we really appreciate how professional the public was in dealing with us. We're trying. You're trying. Sometimes we don't agree, but all we can do is lay it on the table and go from there. Any other discussion on this specific motion? If not, I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor with Mr. Juergens voting no. Motion carries. I'm sorry.
Six in favor
and 1 against. Mr. Juergens voting no. Motion carries.
You took that vote twice to heart, didn't you?
Oh, I did. the left will love it. With that, I'd ask for a motion to go into public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, or suggestions from taxpayers relating to the following proposed fiscal year 2021 county budget.
So moved.
Second.
Thanks, Mr. Bellman. Moved by Lytle.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Second by Dorn. Thanks, Matt. To go into public hearing at 9:31 on the clock. Please vote. 5 in favor with Juergens voting no and Bauman 6 in favor. We're in public hearing at 9:31. There's a sign-up sheet for the public hearing going around. Ms. Wiegand has it to speak at the public hearing.
There's somebody wants to sign in.
There we go. Sorry, I missed.
No, it's okay.
Anyone else that would like to speak at the public hearing for the proposed 2021 county budget?
Would you like me to sign in after?
That'd be fine, Greg. We just need it for the record.
Okay.
Please give your name and address for the record.
Certainly. Gregory C. Lobby, 312 North 10th, Wymore, Nebraska.
Will you raise your right hand?
I need some of the CSO
years. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
To the best of my ability, yes.
Proceed.
Well, I guess I'd like to start with, does the board wish to make any explanation about the budget that is proposed?
We'll need more specifics. If you'd like anything explained.
Well, there is a new column at the bottom of the published budget, or a new section, based on some legislation that was passed. And it is it true that the levy is actually going to decrease by 7%, or am I misunderstanding that entry?
The levy will be at 50 mils.
Okay.
Am I misunderstanding?
It's the way that it's calculated at the bottom. It shows because of our valuation has gone down.
Our valuation has decreased, so our overall taxing ability has gone down. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just confused by those entries. They're new this year, and I wasn't sure what
they... It was last year, too. They changed
it down.
And it has to do with your tax request, if it would have been last year with this year's valuation and things like that.
It basically looks at a retroactive view. But we have to maintain a 50 mil levy.
All right, so the county's portion of the tax levy is going to remain at the 50 mil as it has ever since it was raised to deal with the Beatrice adjustment.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. All right, well, some questions that I have then about the board is I would like to know what the attorneys litigating the federal case to the Supreme Court, researching the bankruptcy option, obtaining the insurance funds, and then the attorneys for the prevailing Beatrice 6 cost the county in total.
So all in?
Yeah, the total amount.
Including the court case originally? That's 2.101906.94, so about 2.1 million if you take into account fighting the original court case, bankruptcy attorneys, the attorneys that worked on the insurance, although those were broke out, you know, the original court case went on for quite a while. They had some successes, some failures. Most recently, the attorney's bills for the insurance through Keating O'Brien, Joel Bacon, and Joel Nelson, that bill was $154,797. That would be the part that correlates to this last lawsuit.
Paid so far. Right. I mean, there's still bills that will come in.
There will be some additional charges there, but that'd be the most recent. I'm guessing you're looking for the most recent bills.
Well, I've seen a number of different figures over the time periods, and I was just wondering what the total amount was that was known as of this time.
Total law fees currently are about $2.1 million.
Thank you. Then I noticed that there is $11.6 million being budgeted for the Beatrice 6 judgment in the proposed budget, if I'm reading that correctly.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Now, with that, I'm assuming that the insurance money is going to constitute at least about $6 million of that $11 million,
correct,
plus the sales tax that would come in and the property tax.
That's an estimation because we don't know what the sales tax will do, so the estimation is high in case we get a lot of sales tax. We want to be able to pay it out.
But the whatever dollars come in
through
the agreements we've had, whatever we have in is paid out. So that's correct. Sales tax is a guessing game. Property tax, we know to a point at the time of budget. But yeah, anything that comes in will come out. I think the insurance was right around 5.9 and change million.
Yeah. All right. Do you know then what the total amount of the county's obligation will be once that payment is made?
Approximately $17 million.
Okay.
So after this year, we'll be over half done.
I mean, rough numbers. Those are rough still. But
Certainly. Do you know what the amount of the unrestricted funds were that remained at the end of fiscal year 2020?
I don't know if I have that over here.
While she's looking, the unrestricted funds, which aren't there, would roll back into the next year's budget, which they would not be taxed for.
This sheet doesn't.
The last figure I have was for June 30th, 2019, and that was just slightly over $11 million. And that number has increased over the last 2 years at that time period.
Right now, our unused restricted authority is 1.7. You can have 1.7 or you can have $1 as long as you're under, not negative.
But Mr. Lobby said $11 million. Would that be correct for last year?
No, not $11 million. The unrestricted, unused. If you're asking for
No, I'm asking for cash or cash equivalents that were unrestricted remaining, available to the county as of the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so when you're saying that, are you talking about the dollars that were not spent, basically?
Well, I'm assuming that that's a term that refers to money that has been collected but has not been expended during the fiscal year.
We don't have that.
These
are a lot of numbers to just pull out of the.
I don't have those reports over here. I was trying to look to see from last year if this contained it, but I don't see.
But we can get that to you, Mr. Lobby.
All right. Well,
and that'd be the unrestricted funds.
The unrestricted funds at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th, 2020.
Fiscal 2020.
Are you sure? Unrestricted, that's an accounting term.
It is, and it comes...
We need to know what you're referring to.
What I'm referring to is the term in the accounting of the financial reports submitted to the state at the end of fiscal year 2019. What that term exactly means, I confess, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, you understand if you're looking for something and we don't know what that is, it's pretty hard to find it.
Well,
and you already had looked at the one for 2019, so you know what it is.
Yes, I know what that figure is, but I'm not in a CPA either, so I'm not sure what the exact definition is.
So, I almost have to have my other sheet to tell you.
Shoot at it just a little bit. Greg, why don't you just say what you're after, as opposed to what are the numbers you're wanting?
Well, from looking at the proposed expenditure of the listed in the budget, what it's budgeted versus the actual expenses last year, and also then looking at what appears to be the remaining cash balance at the end of the fiscal years, there is a substantial sum of money that, with no more knowledge than I have, appears that it might be applicable to pay off or pay towards the Bachelor 6 judgment.
Basically, he's not asking just restricted funds. He's just asking, when we budgeted last year, we budgeted like $40 million to expend, but we actually expended $26 million.
Okay.
I think that's what you're referring to. Well, it's not just restricted fund, because there's certain dollars that are actually labeled as restricted.
That's correct.
But you're talking about just our dollars that we budgeted.
So everything's budgeted to be spent. There's your STP dollars, bridge match funds, inheritance, stop program funds that are just in and out.
Drug
building sinking.
Drug funds, sinking, building sinking. I mean, there's tons of funds. Some are restricted, some aren't. Everything has to be budgeted to spend, or it can't be, it can't be spent during that year. Sometimes you're taking a guess at what could be there. Some years we go way over on rock, such as 2 years ago. Some years we don't, like last year. This year we would be higher on our rock and gravel. The material's not even available. If those dollars aren't spent, they roll back into the next year's budget and are accounted for. But there needs to be a fairly decent-sized cushion on everything. If we're at $11 million that were budgeted and not spent, between the different items that we use, I would say we're probably on the weak side. We should probably be closer, I would say, to the $15 million range. But running a conservative county and trying to keep budget numbers down, I think we're probably about, I wouldn't want to go less than that for any type of cushion by the end of the year.
And one of the things that I don't think people realize is when you look at your general fund, and we're budgeting $18 million, I have to budget for transfers because the general fund is the only thing that is where the levy, the money comes into. So I have to budget to transfer. So it's showing as a dollar amount in the general. That's to operate the road or any of the other funds that I have to transfer into, like the judgment. So there's over $3 million budgeted in the general. There's $5 to $6 million budgeted in the general. 911 communication, there's a budget to transfer. Economic development, there's money in there to budget to transfer. All those dollars are showing up in the general total, but they're also showing up under these individual funds so that we can spend those dollars.
And they
so
may
it's
be,
showing...
There may be unrestricted funds, too, that are still encumbered. I mean, it's a different terminology, but, we may be contractually bound to pay out different dollar amounts, so the funds are still encumbered, even though they're unrestricted funds that are going.
A figure here, just a second.
And I understand, you're required to do it that way, but it makes it look like you spent twice the money.
It does, but that's the way you have to do it.
When you transfer that money.
For this year alone, I gotta find my right sheet here. For transfers alone, we have almost $8 million that's going to show up in the general fund to transfer out to operate the other budgets.
It shows as we have our claims, it'll show us a dollar amount that we spent. Sometimes Mr. Juergens will read that off, and we have $300,000-$500,000, but it's not an actual expenditure. It's a transfer from general to a department, and then those funds are expelled.
But that's how we have to show it in the budget, to get the tax dollars from one fund to the other.
Be much easier with a debit and a credit. Two columns is all we should need.
Well, if each fund could accept tax dollars.
Maybe that's what leads to the uncertainty that I have about the budget that was published. It shows in round figures that last year you spent just over $26 million. I'm assuming that's what disbursements refers to.
Right, and that is correct. And not all the monies were transferred, so it might have shown more. But if the highway doesn't need it, if there's projects that can't get done because of weather or whatever, we don't automatically transfer the dollars into the road fund. Or most of the other funds were right close. They usually spend because it's a contract or something, agreement that we have with someone.
And now, in this year, the proposed budgets are over $49 million, or the proposed disbursements.
That's your large amount for Beatrice 6. It's bumped that up because we have to transfer all that money into the judgment fund.
Okay. But that's accounted for when you work your way down through the totals.
Correct.
But that the difference, like the $6 million, for example, that the insurance budget bumps it up over last year. So I took that off, and that still leaves over almost $23 million budgeted more than the actual expenses from the previous year.
But you're comparing two different things, actual disbursements and budget. You can't compare those two numbers. That'd be like a
they aren't
the same thing. You're forgetting, you're negating, or you're just forgetting the transfers again. Those transfers aren't actual expenditures, but they show in the budget. So if we're expending $26 million for the entire year, those transfers show through our budget on top of that. So they're basically counted twice. Am I explaining this correctly?
Somewhat, right.
It's extremely difficult to explain, quite frankly. And it goes
convoluted.
But it's an accounting system set up by the state, required by the state. So Ms. Hill doesn't have any other choice but to do it that way.
It's not easy.
I'm not questioning, the propriety of what you're doing. But from the form,
you're wondering
it's very
how much
confusing
money do we have
to me in terms of how much money might actually be accessible to the county.
Let me assure you that if there was a way for us to spend another $17 million and pay off Beatrice 6, we would do it yesterday. So as confusing as this might be, the budget has not changed a whole lot from one year. There's not an extra $23 million sitting there not being used or whatever. That I assure you that money is not just sitting there in a bankroll just waiting for Galen to buy blades for the road department.
So to start the year, when I start, the amount that we had left in our general fund to start this year was $5 million. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's two.
That's the number he's really looking
that's
for.
That's
what
did we
have
with
left?
My budget. That's what we had left in the general fund. Now, sometimes there's some that's brought in that might be left like $100,000 or $200,000 in the road budget just because he didn't spend it and it was already transferred in. But that's basically your bulk of where we start when I start putting the budget together. We had $5 million this year to start with.
Just for general information, our levy is going to be at 50 cents. That's where we're going to be for a long time. We've dropped 3 mils off by accounting, over time and planning with the road bond, which was a vote of the people. So that 3 mils will drop off this year. You'll see that right away. Our interest rate on the money that we owe on the Beatrice 6 judgment is right around 0.5%. It's not going to get much lower than that. So we're working with that judgment through that interest. The county's functioning. We're not in dire hurt by any means, but with $3 to $5 million left on more or less an actual $27 million expenditure, were somewhere around 18% or less actual holdings, which is extremely low for a cushion. We did achieve a settlement, $5.987 million, if I remember right, 5.985, somewhere in that. That will be paid to that judgment, which will bring that down. It's really important that we don't damage the county currently. Right now, I mean, just to use a metaphor, if we've got a broken arm, we're going to put a splint on that and let it heal. We're not going to rip the whole arm off so we're walking around with a stub when this is over. We're going to let that arm heal so that we're strong when we get done still. And although there are some monies not expended at the end of the year, we want that. If we're looking at a city or a municipal budget, say like Beatrice, where you have the different departments, water department, sewer department, electric department, they have cash reserves in each of those. Each of those is under $1 million, but ours is all in one pot, more or less. So by us keeping under 20%, I think that's fiscally responsible. We're not increasing our expenses as we could. We're trying to run conservatively yet, but still run in a healthy fashion.
Well, the proposed budget increases the budgeted amount for nearly every category listed significantly. And so I don't know exactly what conclusion to draw from that. I understand you're required to fill this budget form out in accordance with state statute, and it can be misleading to someone in the general public that doesn't have specific knowledge about accounting principles or this format. But if there is any way that this county can increase the payment to the budget, I would encourage you to do that. You're talking about a broken limb. According to the USDA FSA, as of September 2016, there were 1,447 farm operators or tenants in this county. By January 27, 2020, the number of farm operators declined to 1,236. That's a loss of 211 farm operators out of this county alone over just 3 years. And that might be a clue to what property taxes and the other problems, the economic problems that farmers are facing, and what it's causing many of them just to be able to continue to operate any longer. Governor Ricketts indicated that he was waiting for the resolution of the insurance claims before addressing the needs of the Beatrice or the Gage County arising out of the Beatrice 6 judgment. Hopefully with that resolution now, he will be willing to budget in the upcoming biannual budget. Will you as a county board formally request the governor to include payment of the remaining Beatrice 6 judgment in his upcoming two-year budget?
Will we formally ask him to?
Yes.
We don't have any plans exactly to at this time formally send anything up to him. If that's something the board wants to do, we can. Otherwise, we'll continue speaking with the governor and the legislature.
I would encourage you to do that as a formal official body representing all of the taxpayers in this county. And as you know, that's a repetition of a request that I have made a number of times before.
We thank you for your...
I would also ask you to think about hiring a lobbyist to press for funds. I've heard Senator Dorn recommend that to other groups.
But then you'll grill me on why I'm spending money on a lobbyist next year.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Thank you very much for your...
Thank you, Mr. Lobby. We'll take that under advisement. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at the public hearing for the 2021 budget?
I've worked for free lobbying a lot of state senators this last year. Just going to say that.
I believe that. Thank you.
I did too.
Mr. Lytle and Mr. Hill have both spent a lot of time talking to the legislature, and we really do appreciate that. Anyone else from the public that would like to speak? There is a sign-up sheet on the table where Mr. Lauby is currently signing up. Is there any discussion from the board while we're in public hearing on this year's budget?
Eric, one thing I will say is that, Craig, I do appreciate you coming forward and asking a lot of those questions, because there are a lot of people that don't understand the process, and so I do appreciate you asking those questions for other people that don't, that wonder the same things. So we would, I swear, if we had the ability to pay that darn thing off and be done with it, we'd look for every way possible.
Yes, sir. One final thing, what Mr. Lytle's referring to, I can tell you there was at least four plaintiff's attorneys that also went through this with a fine-tuned comb, our budget, and made sure that every virtual nickel that could be applied to that judgment was being applied. So you've got somebody that, you know, it wasn't like we're trying to protect anything on that. We wanted to get that paid off as quickly as possible, even though it's an extremely low interest rate. Again, it's a situation I would point out that this board inherited, and they've done a heck of a job wrestling with it. If there's $11 million sitting out there, then I would certainly approach to raise it for my office. But it's not there. And again, I understand you can look at that stuff. I've had Don explain it to me, as well as the accounting up at the state auditor's office. And it's probably, at least my opinion, a lot more complicated than it needs to be. But they're not going to change it because I can't understand it.
We try to pay off everything just like the road bond ahead of time. The sheriff's sitting there. We have wonderful, delightful conversations every year about this time. He's thrilled when I call him and say, hey, buddy, let's talk. There's no big increases on the department heads. I mean, they just know, and I think everybody's worked with the board as well, the different offices, to kind of keep things on that even keel and not cut yourself, but keep rolling, like I say, in just a good conservative fashion. Anything else for public hearing? Seeing none, I would ask for a motion to come out of public hearing at 9:57 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. We are out of closed session. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution setting 2021 tax request at a different rate than the 2019-2020 tax rate.
Move to approve.
Second.
Resolution 20-24.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill to approve resolution 20-24. Discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget for fiscal year 2020-2021.
20-25.
Resolution 20-25.
I would move to approve resolution 2025.
Second.
Thought we weren't going to have a budget this year. Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on the budget by the board? I guess we've gone over this already. Basically, expenditures stayed flat with most organizations. We still kept funding Ag Society, things like that. Things that we saw as needed, but we didn't add any this year, and we didn't increase funding. Funding requests were, of course, higher. In many situations, we left those at flat line. There will be additional discussion on the 911 agreement, but most everything just stayed even keel the way we were.
We've worked very hard to keep our money managed appropriately, and our elected officials have been very good in their departments of managing money and employees, and I think we can feel very proud that we're doing all we can to make sure we spend the county's dollars appropriately.
I agree, Senator. Thank you. We have a motion by Byers, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. The 2020-2021 budget is approved.
Come on, roll.
approve or disapprove? Do we need everyone to sign this? Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Tall Tree Tasting LLC for a fall festival event located at the Four Generations Barn on October 24th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Juergens. Nice to have something happy here.
And you said approve or disapprove recommendations. You mean approve or disapprove resolution?
No, it's a recommendation.
Recommendation for
You've
special.
You've changed it? Okay.
We have a statement by the Gage County Sheriff's Office. They are fully aware of the applicant's request and intentions to hold this function, and they do not oppose the issuance of special designated license. Does anyone want to see that? Okay. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Juergens. Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Okay. Approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit 2020-3 for addition of anhydrous ammonia to existing commercial site located in the southeast quarter of Section 31 Philly Township for Farmers Cooperative Dorchester.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn.
20-26.
Resolution 20-26, which we had a public hearing on a couple weeks ago. Would anyone like to speak in favor of the co-op? Got a head shake. Any questions about this? We have a motion by Juergens, second by Dorn, to approve Resolution 20-26. No discussion. Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove sending letter to EMS agencies to extend the EMS agreement by 1 year ending on June 30th, 2021. Thanks for coming, Tony. Is not in here. This letter is in regard to the current agreement that Gage County has with your entity to provide emergency medical services to an area of Gage County. As you may know, the current expiration date on this agreement is June 30th, 2020. However, in the paragraph, it states it may be continued for one more year. If you wish to continue the terms of the current agreement and extend it through June 30th, 2021, sign and return. This is the EMS agreement we have with multiple rural rescues and the city of Beatrice.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any comments? Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Committee reports at the end.
We got to go back to where we, before that 9:15 time event. Was we done with that?
You voted on that, Eddie. But thanks for paying attention.
maybe Eddie wanted to add his own motion.
That wind was pretty heavy, wasn't it?
He wanted to rename the road.
Rough day.
It's been a rough.
Committee reports, building and ground, winter lights.
Nothing.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Large ticket item. Brock Law Offices, PCLL0. Attorney fees, $13,499.03. Gage County Maps, community-based juvenile services, $26,891.78. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $40,364.60. Contact Engineered Solutions, Culverts, $11,219.99. Midwest Service and Sales, Culverts, $28,559.44. Rock On Incorporated, Township, gravel hauling, $11,843.73.
And we now have a budget. Human resources, employee relations. Law enforcement, emergency management. Nothing from emergency management, planning and zoning. Nothing more today. Sheriff? No. Just going to give him a chance. Oh, got the look. Road and bridge.
The pavers finished milling the pick release stretch. It's getting overlaid east of 82nd Road. They're doing a correction lift on the south side due to the slope of the road, and they'll start paving it again after our rain. The bridge south of Holmesville between Holmesville and Blue Springs is scheduled to start in the middle of September. And I guess that's it.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Did you say anything about this before I came in this?
James. Personnel.
Oh.
Personnel?
Huh? No.
It's personnel.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, nothing on that yet.
Oh, okay. She hasn't announced it then.
I don't know.
I just saw it when I came in today.
Just got it.
Okay. Never mind.
I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
Oh. I'll move.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Dorn. Please vote. Six in favor, we are adjourned at 10:06 on the clock.
Considering you cover everything for the budget.
Yeah. Yeah, find the budget.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't we accept this?
Yeah, they really good, man.
What it says, I don't know.
She's offered a resignation. Why wouldn't we accept it?
I didn't know whether it was public or not yet, so she's doing some other kind of motion.
It's on file with us.
Do we generally do that? Do we read something in and accept it?
Gary, we'll have a plaque and stuff, you know.
What are you going to do with all your time? What are you going to do with all your time?
I mean, I don't know.
You're fishing again?
Oh, I know.
No, it's just to notify you.
Well, and, you know.